147 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the new Tom Cruise film, The Mummy. You can reach us at the Hodgepodge Podcast at gmail.com or at the Hodgepodge Podcast at gmail.com or look for us on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe or head on over to Facebook. Search for the Hodgepodge Podcast, like our page. And on this episode, we'd like to welcome back friend of the show, Matt King.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
All right.
Let's do this thing.
Let's do it.
Wonder Woman is still tearing it up at the box office. Did the final numbers come out yet for this weekend?
Do we know? Oh, I haven't seen.
I haven't looked since opening weekend.
It won Friday over The Mummy. The Mummy was slightly behind it, but The Mummy also is under 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hey, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that in a minute.
We'll get into that travesty.
This past Friday, Marvel released the first trailer for Black Panther. I was shocked to find out that he's actually an African man. I did not know that.
Well, you thought South American.
I thought it was just you.
I was just surprised that they didn't use Janet Jackson's Black Cat.
Yeah.
They should have.
On top.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
I did like the music in the trailer.
Yeah, the music was cool.
Like, the end was like, ding, 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 ding. That was really cool. It looks really, really cool.
Yeah, very stylized. It's a very cool looking film.
I posted the trailer on our Facebook page, and then I also put in Entertainment Weekly in there, because Entertainment Weekly actually did a breakdown of the trailer to kind of explain who all these people are. Because it's real fast, and it shows like a dozen characters.
Hey,
I mean, it's crazy.
You know when I'll find that out? When I watch the fucking movie.
Right, right.
I don't need a breakdown of the fucking trailer.
But the thing is,
I want an 80s sitcom intro for everyone where it like stops when it gets on their face.
Too many cooks.
Because it's like, you know, I know Captain America's universe or Iron Man's universe much better than I know, say, Black Panther. Or Captain Marvel, for that matter. It was good to read the little breakdown to say, oh, and this person's this, and then this person does that, and then they work with, and they explain, and there's a lot of famous actors in this. I mean, it's a stacked cast.
Oh, yeah.
Lupita Nyong'o's in it. What's her last name? Guinara? Michonne from
Walking Dead.
Angela Bassett's in it.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker's in it. I mean, he's almost unrecognizable.
Yeah. Both his eyes.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan's in this. The guy, Daniel Kaluuya from
Get Out
is in this. So it's a stacked cast.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room now? Racist. Where are the white people in Hollywood for this movie? Am I right?
They're in the beginning of the trailer.
I mean, give me a break.
In fact, the trailer, it's funny that it starts with two white guys talking in a room. It starts with Andy Serkis.
First they put women on the screen in lead roles, and now... Black people. What's next, Hollywood?
You're starting to sound like somebody we know. Yeah. No, yeah, the trailer.
White folk being marginalized.
Yeah, right. He's joking, everybody. The trailer starts out with Andy Serkis, his character Claw, who was in Age of Ultron, if you remember, and then also Martin Freeman, who was in Civil War, also known as Avengers 3.
Oh, I thought he was reprising his role from...
The Office.
The Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, no, The Office.
Well, they
the
both Office. Were.
That's right. Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah, right. And then they show Chadwick Boseman, because, we're mentioning all these other great actors. Chadwick Boseman, obviously, is reprising his role as Black Panther. The voiceover was weird. I don't know who was doing the voiceover. It sounded like it was his father.
I assume it was his father. That's what
In a flashback. It sounded like it was his father.
It could also be like
Forrest Whitaker.
It could be Forrest Whitaker, though.
Yeah.
But he didn't say, save the dream! Save the rebellion! So I didn't know if it was him or not.
Well, that is confusing for him not to say that.
Let's hope he's not as useless in this movie as he was in Rogue One. Pointless.
Serves no purpose whatsoever.
I wiped that movie from memory, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
So many people love that movie, and I don't get it. I just don't get it. But anyway,
I think just because it was different.
But it wasn't.
I think it's just because they're just like Star Destroyers and X-Wings.
Well, that's not true though, because they didn't the same people didn't do that for Force Awakens. The same people were like, I didn't think the Force Awakens was that good, but then they love this fucking movie.
But it's because she's a Mary Sue, even though she's awesome. Driving the money, Falcon.
Anyway.
So we'll talk about Star Wars, you know, in December.
December.
Unless we want to re-review all the prequels again.
We did that. real quick. Let's start with Phantom Menace.
Terrible. So, Black Panther looks cool. It's very sci-fi because Wakanda's society is very, like, advanced.
Mm-hmm. I like the story that they're setting up for it, which is why we haven't seen it before. It's because, you know, they're putting it, or they're making it so, like, it's the old El Dorado.
Yeah, it's the lost city. Right. It's the lost city that people have been searching for that they can never find it.
And it's been, everybody thought El Dorado was in South America or whatnot, but it's actually in Africa.
And I'm pretty sure they referenced that in the last movie, I think.
I don't think they did.
Something about El Dorado. I'm pretty sure
they did. Did they?
Yeah. I can't remember. Yeah.
And it makes sense because they have vibranium there, so it's instead of looking for gold, looking for vibranium.
I mean, that's what his whole suit is made of.
Right.
Yeah. That scene where they first showed Panther, with the guys stepping out of the trucks with the machine guns, like they had somehow gotten into Wakanda, and like the dogs barking at the tree, and they shine the light up, and Panther's perched on the. That's straight out of the comics. That was
awesome.
It's an awesome looking scene.
Yeah, he's very much like Batman in that regard, like the way he fights and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So
he can get shot.
That's true.
And be fine. Batman would be dead.
Well, true, but Batman doesn't have a vibranium.
Unless he prepared for a bullet.
But he doesn't have a vibranium.
He could buy one.
Yeah.
Rich bastard.
He could.
Speaking of Batman.
What are your superpowers again? I'm rich.
Speaking of Batman.
Yes, some sad news this weekend. Everyone of a certain age, at least everybody at this table's childhood Batman passed away this weekend. Adam West, who was the star of the 1966 campy as fuck Batman TV show.
You mean awesome as fuck.
Yeah.
Sadly passed away this weekend. He was 88.
88 years old.
And, you know, it's like I said, I mean, everybody who's been putting in tributes over that, he was everyone's childhood Batman. I mean, he was, you know, Batman. I mean, even though I was born in, you know, mid to late 70s, you know, it was on constant repeats.
Oh, they were showing those. Yeah, Nickelodeon or whatever was always showing.
Yeah, that's the reason I saw them is because they were.
As a little kid, you know, you watch the Batman TV show, you're like, man, this is awesome. You get a little bit older, you're like, wow, this is fucking stupid. It's like I was watching some of the clips today, and I'm just like, wow, this show's terrible.
Batman and spandex.
No, it wasn't even that. It was just how.
I know. It was
so tongue in cheek, though. I mean, it's great. It's, I mean, it's one of my favorite scenes, Batman scenes from all time, is from the show. When somebody gets kidnapped. The soup scene.
We talked about this. We did the Batman episode a few years ago.
I loved it. I poured the soup into the back computer. So great.
I love how everything's labeled in that show. Like, everything's it's like super explicit label. And then I posted...
Well, the shark repellent.
Right, the shark repellent.
That was labeled on the camera.
Well, it's just like, now I will press the bat button. It's this big button. It just says bat button. I mean, that's pretty much how the show went.
And he also, you know, he was very much tied to the Batman character. So much so that he was kind of upset, from what I can remember, when Michael Keaton got cast in the Batman movie in 1989.
Still holding out that last hope for it.
But he also appeared in the animated series. He was a character called Grey Ghost, who was like almost, he was a movie character, but he was like a inspirational hero to Bruce Wayne when he was a boy. So then they actually had a case together when Bruce Wayne was Batman. It was a cool episode. And then, of course, he also voiced the mayor on Family Guy. That's been his latest role, and he's been popping up all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, he's in pop culture bits and pieces here and there all over the place.
He did...
30 years.
I posted, because my friend John posted one of the scenes, and I found another one from The Simpsons. He guested on The Simpsons a couple of times. And the scene where... It was from Mr. Plow, where they go to the auto show, and he's there with the Batmobile, and he goes, oh my god, Adam West! And he goes, here's a picture of me with Robin. And the kids are like, who's Robin? He goes, oh, you probably just know the movies. Well, I didn't have to wear molded plastic. this is pure West. And then he starts doing the bat. He goes, why doesn't Batman dance anymore? Bat-tousy. He does the Bat-tousy, and then Homer just like backs the kids away. He's like, back away, don't make eye contact. And then the other one was, Milhouse and Bart are up late and they see an old rerun of Batman where Krusty was a villain on the Batman TV show. And he puts them on like a merry-go-round that goes real fast. And Batman, this is what we were talking about with like all the different labels and shit. He goes, my carousel reverse spray or something like that. It was fucking stupid. And I think they also got Burt Ward on that one too. I think he played Robin on that one as well. So yeah, it's sad day. Because he was Batman for a long time until the Dark Knight Returns, yeah, I guess. He was considered like Batman. And
the
then
original paver of superheroes on screen, really.
I guess it was in the 70s that it started getting, Batman kind of went back to his roots in the comics, but it didn't explode until Frank Miller did Dark Knight Returns in 86.
So, yep, that's too bad, but he lived a long and good life.
Yes, he did.
So many good Batman memes coming out. Like just clips of the show. It's like Robin, there's one that I saw today where Robin was like, we could beat these guys easy, and Batman goes, easily. Good grammar is essential. Thank you, Batman. You're welcome.
The one I've been seeing is the one from the King Tut episode where he dances the Bat-tousy, and but he actually goes and jumps in with the cape and stuff like that. It's just like, you're just like, what the fuck is happening?
It seems like a fever dream to go back and watch them now, but
yeah, it does.
They were great when I was a kid. So
they produced the best Riddler Funko Pop though. Picked him up the other day. Frank Gorshin, he was great on this show, and I love they have the Joker Funko Pop from the show, and he actually has the mustache on. Cesar Romero one.
Couldn't shave his mustache.
Yeah, he wouldn't shave his mustache to be the Joker. They put the grease paint right over it,
and that's when you just be like, do you want a job or do you not want a job?
That grows back, you know.
Yeah, you know. Anyway.
So.
Do we have to talk about The Mummy?
Yeah, can we just keep talking about Adam West? The Mummy.
Yay.
My mantra going into this movie was that I had hopes for it because Tom Cruise doesn't make a lot of crap. This movie's a piece of crap, and Tom Cruise is in it. I watched last night Red Letter Media's Half in the Bag about this movie, and they made a lot of excellent points about how it's really, like, if you watch the movie just, like, analytically, it's really just solely designed for the foreign market, and that's really all it is. They don't even care about America. It's just, like, that's why there's, like, so many exposition scenes, and, like, it's the same exposition scene over and over and over again, and stuff like that.
Why does that succeed outside of the United States?
He's a big draw overseas, Tom Cruise. He's a much bigger draw overseas now.
Small white man.
Why does exposition sell shit?
Because they can probably... I guess because it allows them to be able to follow what's going on.
Not just that, but they made an excellent point. If you notice, all the exposition scenes are like voiceovers, so they could even like change the fucking story if they wanted to for different markets.
I want
to
see that story. I want to see a different.
I don't know that it's going to matter, but
they could do that. So and they made a great point that Tom Cruise, the way his character is written in this, he's really miscast in this movie because the way I thought they were going to go with it, especially since they're launching this big universe, is that they were going to make him the hero of this universe that was the through line through the whole thing. And that's Tom Cruise's wheelhouse.
They sort of are doing
that. Not really, though.
Sort of.
Not really, because he's more of like a... He's more like a rogue
in
this.
He's a mystery guy.
He's more like a rogue in this. And Tom Cruise isn't a rogue. He's not who he is.
They clearly set it up to where they're going to come back to him.
He's course.
Going to help him.
Of course. But I mean, his character, because he's like a thief in the thing, and that's not really Tom Cruise's wheelhouse. Yeah.
Like I would just like to point out to both of you who saw that original trailer and said, I'm interested.
That is true.
I did say,
that is true.
I don't know.
You called it.
I will have to reserve the right.
You called it. You called it. Yeah, we were both kind of looking forward to this, and it just was terrible.
He has so much goodwill built up behind him. It'd be like a Tom Hanks movie. It's like, it can't be that bad, right?
Yeah, and it's billed as the worst Tom Cruise movie ever made. It's 17% on Rotten Tomatoes and deserves every bit of it.
It does. And the last bad movie he did, I would say, was probably Oblivion, But even that movie wasn't like
that wasn't abysmal.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't that bad. Like, it wasn't great, but I mean, but it was a beautiful movie. I mean, the special effects were excellent, everything like that, and it was an interesting story. But it just they fucked it up. The script, they fucked it up.
Well, they that was like an amalgamation of like every sci-fi movie ever. They just tried to throw it at the screen and see what stuck.
But it wasn't a terrible movie.
But he wasn't miscast, I don't think.
No, he wasn't. No,
he was miscast.
I don't. He was. Yeah. He I don't even know what they were really going for in that character. I didn't understand it. And the red letter fucking the love story, which they wanted to anchor as being the reason.
Oh, it's terrible
for him not succumbing to the darkness. It was just stupid. Yeah. It was fucking
he knew
dumb.
It for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
but the thing is that the Red Letter Media guys, they were like they made a suggestion like that's something that you want somebody like a Chris Pratt for, like the snarky guy who could do that kind of thing. They like he probably would have worked better. Right. In that part,
Brendan Fraser.
Why not?
Yeah, he's done it.
We were at a party.
He knows how to do that.
We were at a party last night, and somebody said, "Somebody said the line, Brendan Fraser did it better." I'm like, whoever thought anyone would ever utter that sentence ever in their life? Yeah. Brendan Fraser.
Well,
did
let's
it
wait
better.
For the Encino Man.
But here's the problem, and they did a little winked homage to the Brendan Fraser movie.
Yeah, you pointed that out. Yeah.
The book.
I didn't notice that.
That Dr. Jekyll had, it fell on the floor at one point. That's the book that was from.
Oh, I wonder what that was.
That was the book from the original Mummy.
At first, I was like, is that the Necronomicon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what we said. That's what we said. We thought it was the Necronomicon.
That's they only put that shot in there because that was a nod to the original.
They also did the Mummy.
Which is weird that they'd even do that because this clearly doesn't exist in the same universe.
Right. They also did the Mummy's face in the sandstorm, which they did.
That was from the original. The Return. That might have been the Mummy.
One of the two. Yeah, one of the first two.
But. You know, this movie fails on almost every note.
It does.
The story's awful.
The script's a mess. The dialogue's terrible.
The dialogue is for shit. First of all, let's start off with the fact that this is technically the opening to their dark universe because we'll just forget about Dracula Untold, which was clearly they said that was supposed to be their opening, but they're clearly just dismissing that and they'll make another one.
Right.
I don't know why, because even that was better than this movie.
It was not a good movie, but it was better than this movie.
I haven't
seen that movie. They alluded to vampires in this movie.
That's right.
This is what's funny. This is what's funny because there's a reason why this movie sucks, and the reason's name is Alex Kurtzman, who is the director. He was a writer on.
He directed it. He also wrote it though.
Yeah, he did.
He did the story treatment. Somebody else did the screenplay.
Right. Because he he is one of the architects of this dark universe. Let me list some of the stuff that he's done. He wrote Mission Impossible 3, which is not terrible. He wrote The Island, which was just half a good movie. He wrote Transformers.
That movie did a weird thing.
Yeah. It was a great, it was a good sci-fi movie, and then it turned into a shitty Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
He wrote Transformers.
Oh.
He wrote Transformers 2.
Oh.
He wrote
Transformers 2.
The 2009 Star Trek. He wrote Cowboys and Aliens, which is not good.
That's not good. Could have been good.
He wrote Star Trek Into Darkness, which is awful.
Yep, there we go.
He wrote Amazing Spider-Man 2, which is abysmal. Which was abysmal.
Yeah.
And that explains that scene when they go.
But he keeps going and going and going. And all these movies that we listed.
They all made money.
They made money, but it's not like they scored well.
No, they didn't.
But they know somehow he's got a formula for making money. That's what Hollywood cares about. That's what the studio cares
about. He's a franchise killer, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
Into Darkness, it should have killed Star Trek. Yeah. It is not good.
Thank God. I mean, Beyond was actually deep. Was actually good.
But this movie is supposed to be the springboard for this dark universe. Yeah. This movie is not dark.
No, it's not.
This is not a horror movie. If they're going to market a dark universe, it should be scary. It should be ominous. It should be, you don't, I'm not saying you have to make it some hard R-rated horror movie, but it should be a horror movie at its core. This is not that. No. They even mention in there several times that this is adventure.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Cruise ends it with where's your sense of adventure?
Yeah.
Fuck it, this shouldn't be an adventure story, goddammit. This isn't Indiana Jones.
They wanted to make it more like the 90s Mummy movies.
Yeah.
Than the old.
That's a problem.
But then don't call it the dark universe.
Right. Don't call it the dark universe.
The universe of adventure. You know?
Right.
That's all that is.
It's not. This is not a dark universe. How are you going to turn the fucking creature from the Black Lagoon into a movie like this is beyond me.
Yeah. Well, unless they do it like that meme clip that goes around where he just goes, fuck it, yeah, fuck this like stuff, fuck this lamp, fuck this guy.
Hashtag not my dark universe, bring back Monster Squad.
Yeah.
Bring back Monster Squad. I mean, it has them all in there. Works perfectly.
But see, even as an adventure movie, it fails.
Oh, sure.
Because it's like I said, I mean, there was a very simple way to set up this thing and they fucked it all up. I mean, they could have, you could have had maybe like Cruise and Jake Johnson and like Courtney B. Vance were like these adventurers or something like that. And then they just kind of fall into this adventure.
Right.
And then, you know, Russell Crowe recruits Tom Cruise, say, you're going to be my agent or whatever, you know, in the future. And then that's it. But, the end.
Dr. Exposition and Mr. Hulk.
Right. Yeah, right. Outside of giving him too much exposition. All right. That's the only glue you need for this. And it works fine. You have Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, who is the owner of antiquities of all these monster universes that will collide together. That's your glue to the universe. That's the only glue you need.
Yeah.
You don't need anything else. He is your linchpin.
The only reason why I say you keep Tom Cruise as the hero is because this is something they fucked up with Dracula Untold. You know, the majority of those old monster movies, the monsters are like the villains in the story. And that's where they fucked up with Dracula Untold, where they try to make him like a superhero.
Right. Well, it's like you said, you could have even made Tom Cruise the lead of
the agency.
The agents that work with Hyde or Jekyll.
And then you could have had Hyde, you know, the other half of, you know, Jekyll, like working against him at the same time.
Right. So he wants to capture the monsters so he can have them as the head of an agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type of thing against these monsters. That would have worked great.
And then Hyde is the head of Hydra. You know,
so, I thought Russell Crowe was fine.
He was fine.
But I mean, I expected more from the transformation.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like some over transformation like they do in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or something like that. But bulk him up a little bit. All they did was he's got some more veins and they changed his eye color.
And he got strong and that's it.
But no, I need to see more of a physical change.
Right.
Yeah,
I think even in like the old things that he got, like his hands got bigger, almost like a werewolf.
Alluded to that because he had the glove on that hand.
Right.
And maybe that'll happen in later movies. Maybe this was just a tame version. I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
But anyway, that was a miss for me.
Yeah.
I mean, the way the movie starts off is just stupid, where Tom Cruise is he's in the military with his buddy and
who was completely like
I hated that character.
Jake Johnson was like I don't hate Jake Johnson, but this character was awful. His dialogue was so like on the nose.
That was one of those Transformers characters.
Yeah,
you won't know what we're talking about here. Well, maybe you saw it, but Matt, you'll probably agree with me here. I think what they were going for with this character, where they miserably failed, was an American Werewolf in London.
Exactly.
They were going for that kind of character.
That's where
he was going to be the conscience, if you will. One way or the other.
It made me think of Pet Sematary.
Oh, Pet Sematary, yeah.
That's what Red Letter Media said. They said this movie rips off two movies blatantly. One was American Werewolf in London. Because they said he's Griffin Dunne.
Immediately Griffin when I saw that, I said this is what they're going for.
And then the other one they said was a movie called Life Force, where like it was like these vampires from space who sucked the life force out of people and turned them into zombie-like people. And it's just like, I mean, that's exactly what...
your movie to say.
I know. But
other movies have done that exact same
thing. No, I know. But the way they described it is exactly what they did in this movie.
Yeah, it was like...
And they see a ton of bad old movies.
American Werewolf in London, I can't speak for Life Force. Hands down, that immediately on screen, that's what I thought of.
Right.
I was like, oh, they're going... Which works wonderfully in American Werewolf in London, because guess what? They make a fucking horror movie.
And it was directed by John Landis.
And they treat it right. Landis...
right.
Landis finds the way to walk between satire, comedy, and horror. This doesn't even try. It's not trying.
Yeah, Alex Kurtzman's a fucking hack.
Well, to be fair, he's not trying, but that's what he should have been trying to do.
Right.
Let's go ahead and say it. There's not a single scary scene in this movie.
Oh, not at all.
There was one jump scare that I went, ooh.
But they telegraphed it so much.
They did telegraph it. It's just it came out like that.
It's like you were just waiting for it. Like, all right, here it comes. I can actually see where it's going to come from. So let's do
it. It was, I'm not, we're not going to go through the plot of this movie. I'm sorry. It's just because it's nonsensical. The whole plot's nonsensical. All you need to know is that they stumble onto the mummy.
In the stupidest way possible.
Yeah. And for some reason, Tom Cruise gets attached to this thing, like, for some reason. We don't know why.
He's the Chosen. Because he unleashed it.
Oh, right. He's the Chosen.
He's the Chosen.
For no fucking reason. He's just the Chosen.
I thought it's because he's the one who unleashed her.
No, he brought her up. Was it Russell Crowe? Somebody gave a reason for it. It's like, he's the type of spirit that, you know.
She's
like,
just been waiting for that spirit to be around.
Dumb as fuck.
And so, God.
And then they release the mummy and they start taking it back. And then he becomes like almost like this undead being. But he doesn't get all.
Which is the weird thing because he was killed like everyone else, yet he's walking around fine.
He's the Chosen.
Right.
The Chosen. Right. What I love is like they stumble into this pit, right?
Right.
And Annabelle, what's her face, plays Jenny.
What
is she, an archaeologist or?
Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
Science lady. She comes in.
She's a Transformer science lady.
Who somehow
commands the army.
Yeah, right? She's like telling them what to do.
And who knows? But anyway, they get into this thing, right? And it's an obvious pulley system. Right. It's a series of ropes and pulleys leading into water.
And it's Mercury.
And he's the only one who sees it.
Well, he's the only one who sees it. But she's like, this isn't they're not trying to keep the mummy out. They're trying to keep it in. And I'm like, no. That's a pulley system. The only thing it can do
is come up.
Is bring it out.
Right.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. This movie is so stupid.
Yeah. And then Red Letter Media made a great point. They're like, they took the sarcophagus 1,000 miles away from Egypt to bury it, but yet they still had the time to create this elaborate temple where they kept it.
With giant decorations.
Why are you ornamenting a tomb that for someone that you're trying to kill? You despise.
Yeah.
Why are you still treating that person like a royalty? But you're right. If they wanted her in there, they would have cut those ropes.
Right.
Yeah.
After they put her in there. I understand the pulley system to get her in there.
Yeah. And then they should have cut it.
Then you would have cut it, and then that's it.
Right.
Also, where did all this mercury come from that keeps flowing thousands of years later? Yeah. It's still there.
I love that every person in this movie now has mercury poison.
Right. Yeah, right, basically, yeah.
Like, they're all brain dead by the end of this movie because they're all just like touching it, and you know.
You called what they should have done, and maybe they didn't. They just didn't mention it. Is like when they capture her, they should have alluded to, we have something with mercury on it, as opposed to they just used some pulleys and ropes to basically capture her. And also, I'm going into too much detail, but when she is captured and they got there, they're embalming her with mercury, and then she just starts throwing it up. It's like, why didn't you do that from the beginning if you could just throw it up like that?
I mean, once you saw her chained up, you're just counting down the moment until she breaks out of those chains.
Right, exactly.
And then when she breaks out, you're like, at what point does she join the Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah.
Because that...
Well, the other thing is, too, is that, you know, people, like, I think people thought originally, and we should talk about this, is that Sophia Boutella, who was... she's been in some stuff recently, but she's
in The Kingsman.
Yeah, her most high profile role was she was the lady with the blade legs in Kingsman.
Yeah,
and she's going to be in Atomic Blonde as well.
She was in the last Star Trek movie.
She was. That's right. Yeah, that's her.
She was under heavy makeup. She was in
right. You're right. That's her highest profile role. She was good in that. She was good in that. She was the alien with the white and the black face. She was cast as the mummy, and I think people were like, oh, this is interesting. This will be like a little, like a feminist thing or something like that.
This, to me, is the most offensive part of this movie.
And it's not, because all she's trying to do is make Tom Cruise a vessel for Set, the Egyptian god of death, and then she's just going to be his queen. Be like his concubine. It's just like, what?
Not rules. She's
not going to
rule. Not like we'll rule side by side. But.
No. You'll rule, and I'll just kind of... I'll keep the house tidy. You know, it's like... I was like, what the fuck? It's like, it's not even like a feminist thing to like for her to be like the villainess.
Well, no, they set up...
It made no sense because it's like, once she was resurrected, you'd think she'd be like, fuck all that jazz. I'll just rule here by myself.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't even need... Why do I need somebody else?
Right.
The only thing I can mention is at the beginning, that was the blood oath that they took. He gave her power so that she would resurrect him. But what keeps her from breaking that I don't know.
And what keeps her bandages so firmly affixed to her crotch and her breasts?
Yeah.
Not anywhere else.
and like the last scene where she just drags out killing Tom Cruise because she wants him to succumb to the evil.
That was stupid.
Well, you know, 30 minutes before, or 45 minutes before that, you just held him down and we're going to kill him.
Yeah.
Why do you care so much now that he succumbs to it? I don't.
Here's the deal. Like, if I ever become a 6,000-year-old magic, like, wizard, remind me in my Takeover the World scheme not to resort to a fist fight at the end of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
For the fate
this
of my world.
So stupid.
It's like, she could kill him 10,000 different ways.
Right.
But I do like that her finishing move is a slap.
Yeah, it was. That was great.
Yeah.
Oh.
Open face slap. That was, or open handed slap.
It was the best.
What are the five fingers say to the face?
It was god awful.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's just like Suicide Squad. She's a 6,000-year-old wizard.
Yeah.
Let's fight everybody hand to hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this person with a bat can have a chance.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's so dumb.
And Harley Quinn was in this movie.
Nothing about this movie works. Anything that could work, they find a way to ruin it.
Yeah.
For this to be their springboard into this dark universe, God help them. Because,
and like I said, they even fucked that up too. Oh, and by the way, the big twist at the end of the movie, Tom Cruise is the mummy. That's the big twist at the end of the
movie. Well, he's set.
I know, but he had like wrappings on his hands and stuff like that. He basically becomes the mummy at the end of the movie.
And they had a chance to, at least do something moderately cool at the very end after he turns into set. Or he gets set inside him.
Well,
it's
like he gets set, but then he overcomes it.
Yeah.
Keeps the power.
Because he's
know.
The chosen, I guess.
Or does he? We don't know
who,
if he overcomes it.
Who cares?
Because the script said he had to.
He's in shadow, right?
Right.
And what's her face? Like he resurrects the girl that was inexplicably killed.
And
finally.
Is she now immortal? I don't know.
Who knows? But like he would only speak to her from the shadows. They could have had at least one cool moment where you see what he has become.
Right.
Nope.
Nope, they don't even do that. And here's the other question I had. So at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, I guess, he resurrects his buddy, too, and lifts the curse on him. So I'm like, well, how come you can't get rid of your own curse if you can get rid of his curse? Because he was cursed.
Hey, here's a question. If you have all this infinite power, why do you have to roam the desert on horseback?
Yeah.
Like, why is that thing you have to do?
Why is he going to the pyramids? Why?
Yeah, apocalypse.
What's he going to do there? B, why does he have to have a sandstorm following him to to said pyramid?
Yeah. I did not think it was going to be a good movie towards the weeks leading up to it. I thought, okay, the last trailer got me a little more interested, and I was like, you know, I hope it's good. I'd love to see a horror universe.
Well, the trailer was misleading.
It was
straight
very
up misleading.
Yeah. Very much so.
They try to set it up as this like
it was going
to
be creepy.
It was
going to
be creepy,
it's
scary.
Not creepy.
It's not.
And they even admit in the movie they try to make it an adventure movie. And why? Why are you trying to make a horror franchise an adventure movie? It's so fucking stupid. No. And now I'm like, now they're doing stupid shit like, now we're going to add the Phantom of the Opera and the Hunchback of the Notre Dame into our Monsterverse. What the fuck? Why?
Yeah.
Why those two things?
I don't understand is what story do they think is going to pull all these things together?
I don't
together?
Know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who wants to see the Hunchback
well,
of
like
the
Notre Dame?
They'll probably fight Dracula.
Like I said, the story that pulls them all together is Russell Crowe's Dr. Jekyll, because he's the one who's searching for them all, right? So he you know, you had the Spider-Man-esque scene.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Where
it's,
he walks
right
in,
out of Amazing Spider-Man 2.
You walk into his lab and you see a jar with a Dracula skull in there, or a vampire skull in there. You see the hand of
the creature
from the Black Lagoon. Yeah. You see the hand. So you see he's collecting all these things. And then you see that he's also a dentist, apparently, because he's got a dentist chair with some stuff over there. I don't know.
Maybe Little Shop of Horrors is in this universe as well.
Maybe. I hope so.
We can get Alice. Or what is that her name?
Audrey.
Audrey 2.
Audrey 2.
Audrey?
The plant was Audrey. Audrey 2.
Yeah. Because
the girl was Audrey.
So,
maybe get Rick Moranis in it. And Steve Martin.
I'd rather see that. Rick Moranis.
As the dentist.
As the dentist. It's just, a mummy, don't watch it. Go see Wonder Woman again.
Go see anything again. I don't care
whatever.
The fuck you see. Just don't go see it. It's really shit. Anyone who says they enjoyed this movie, I guess there are people because it's gonna make money, and
I just feel bad.
I just don't understand.
I don't really feel bad for Johnny Depp, but like Javier Bardem is now caught up in this Because he's going to be Frankenstein's monster, yeah. Right?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and say that all the other movies are going to be terrible.
If Alex Kurtzman's involved, they're going to be terrible.
But it's not looking good. He sucks. It is not looking good at all.
This is not a good
If you're going to kick something like this...
It's Universal's fault, as far as I'm concerned.
Kick something like this off, make sure you do it fucking right.
Because they committed the mortal sin that all these movies, these franchise starters have done. They don't make a solid movie to start it, and then just say, oh, and by the way, it leads into this. It's, no, this is the start of the franchise, and fuck this story that we're trying to tell, because that doesn't even fucking matter.
Right.
And that's what they did with Warcraft, they did it in this, they do it in, like, all these fucking movies, and it's just like, no, you gotta tell, unless it's something like Star Wars,
everyone where you're already
like,
knows.
Where you know, yeah, there's gonna be at least two more after this, that's different, because Star Wars is already, has its cred, you know? This is just like, it's an unknown thing, and they're trying to fucking do it. You know,
I guess they assumed everybody would be so hyped for monsters, which they probably would have been had they made a monster movie.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but they didn't.
Nope.
The guys from Red Letter Media in their thing, they made a good suggestion too. They said they should go. They should have done like the Blumhouse route and made it a little bit less money. And made it more like a horror movie. Right, they said, doesn't it, like you said, doesn't have to be hardcore horror movie, but make it a little bit more lower budget, you know, and then you get a better return. It's not as much risk.
It's almost their aim is for lower brow people like you who can say, no, hear me out. Who can say,
fuck you.
This is not a dig. What I'm saying is you're more critical of the movie. Like you. You're more critical of movies, but you don't like horror movies.
Right.
So they're aiming for people who can say, hey, I like a horror movie now, because they're not actually fucking watching a horror movie.
Casual.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They
can convince people they're watching a horror movie when they're not watching anything near a horror movie.
Right.
Now, and The Mummy is so frustrating because The Mummy is one of those horror movies they could have done. They could have made it scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the original Mummy movies? Not the Brendan Fraser movies. They have their own voice. But again, they weren't... Well, they kind of were trying to be a little bit horror too, I guess. In their marketing, I guess, but I think they took the more adventure route.
Yeah,
the marketing.
To me, they were more like Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah, I think they marketed that
knockoff Indiana
Whereas
Jones movies.
This clearly like tried National to market Treasure. Itself as a horror movie, clearly, yeah. And it just fails on all cylinders.
It's not even close.
It fails as an adventure movie. It fails as a horror movie. Yeah. Whatever it's trying to be,
it fails as an advertisement for Scientology. It
fails at life.
You know what it is? It's just like Tom Cruise wanted to do some more stunts, and he was like, here's a movie where I could do some stunts. Because I think it was his idea to do that zero-G
the vomit rocket?
Yeah.
But, it's not just...
That was funny. I did laugh at that part, though. When she was like, you gave me the last parachute. I knew you were a good guy. He's like, I thought there was another one.
I thought there was another parachute.
Okay, that was funny. I was like, all right, give you that.
Yeah, it's just... It's not good. I mean, the whole movie just doesn't make any sense.
No.
Nothing makes any sense in the movie. And it's terrible. Just fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's really not debatable.
No.
It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
There's no debate about it. Sadly, I wish there was. I wish there was. I mean, there, like I said, there are pieces that we can say could have worked.
Yeah.
But nothing does. So.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the other movie you saw this week?
My cousin Rachel, star of the former Mummy movies, Rachel Weisz. It was okay. I didn't realize that it was. It's based on a book, but they also made one a while back. I want to say maybe in the '50s. So it's actually kind of like a remake. It's like a remake. She's great in it. The movie itself, the guy Sam Claflin. Who's in it? He wasn't that good in it. His character was kind of whiny in it. I didn't really get behind him.
What was the movie about?
The movie is about this guy, his cousin, who basically raised him as a boy, goes off to Italy because he's ill. He goes off to Italy to get well, and he meets this woman, and he writes letters back, and he basically says like how the woman is trying to kill him, basically.
Oh.
And then... he dies. The main character played by Sam Claflin. He goes down to Italy to find out that the guy's dead, his cousin's dead, and then the widow comes to England to his estate, and so that's why it's called My Cousin Rachel, because she's his cousin by marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole did she didn't she right. kind of thing. You know, did she really kill him, or was the guy going nuts? Because the guy had a brain tumor.
Do they leave that up until the very end?
Yes. Like, yeah. Even by the end, you don't know for sure. Still? Yeah. Even like by the that. End, you know for
That's
sure.
Cool. That's cool.
And the way they wrote his character, I didn't like it. I didn't like some of the direction in it either. But she's very good in it. The other supporting cast is good in it. What's his face? Sir Jorah from Game of Thrones. He's in it.
Oh, okay.
But it was okay. I gave it like a C plus or something like that.
That's not really okay.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's a movie. You know, it's not terrible. It's not
fair enough.
It's not good either. Yeah. Not great either.
I saw It Comes at Night, which is
the movie that the Mummy should have been.
which, unlike the Mummy, it isn't a true horror movie either. But it does everything right.
Right.
It's really more of a drama.
Right.
Than it is a horror movie. It's a horror movie in that it's psychological horror.
Right.
Because you don't know what's coming. Mm-hmm. But it stars Joel Edgerton, mm-hmm. and I don't know the rest of the cast. But it does a really good job. It's constant tension throughout the movie. It's an hour and a half long, so mm-hmm. it's the perfect length. They don't try to oversell it. You're constantly paranoid throughout the movie as you follow these characters that are paranoid. There's no actual spoiler alert, because this is the part that the people that didn't like the movie would hate about it. It's because there's no actual monsters or anything coming after you in this movie. And the trailers, while they don't mention that there is, that plus the title makes you think that there is something. But I think It Comes at Night. I think the it is paranoia. I think they're just talking about the psychological aspect of
yeah.
Because it's basically a story that takes place in, you don't know what year, but it's you know, kind of current,
right?
But it's post-apocalyptic type of times. Like mm-hmm. But you don't know how long it's been
or what happened.
It's just an isolated family, and they're worried about the family and them contracting a disease that's out there that's basically seemingly wiped out the population. They come into contact with another family,
mm-hmm.
and then they get them to move in with them, and then the paranoia kind of starts.
Right.
It's really well done, and you're kind of edge of your seat tension throughout the whole movie. And for me, it was like, I thought it was pretty brilliant, because they were able to hold this feeling over the audience, this feeling of tension and dread, without actually introducing a tangible bad guy or other, right? It kind of worked for me. And it's a movie that critics seem to love. The audience is literally like 50% on,
right?
Because I think half the people go,
they're expecting like a monster.
Half
movie.
The people go and want a monster movie. They want zombies or something like that. It's not that at all.
Looking at IMDb, it also stars Carmen Ejogo, who was Coretta Scott King in Selma. And she was also
I recognized her.
She was also in Fantastic Beasts. She was the president, the magical president.
Okay.
And then also stars Riley Keough, who is going to be in Logan Lucky, which is...
That looks pretty good.
Which is Soderbergh's new movie, which comes out in August.
Yeah, the NASCAR heist movie.
Yeah, and I posted the trailer for that also on our Facebook, and the movie looks great.
Yeah, it does. Can't wait for that one. But check out It Comes at Night if you can. I thought that was really good. I know you passed on because you thought it was a horror movie.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah, I might want to check that out, Yeah, that's
like I said to you, it reminded me of Tones for Zephyr Zachariah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a family type of drama with very tense undertones.
Hmm. And I like Zephyr Zachariah. Yeah. That was a great movie. Well, that'll do it. Thanks for coming by, Matt.
Yeah.
Talk about our mommy. Next episode, I don't know what's going to happen for next episode, because we're kind of in a lull for us, at least until the end of June.
Next week is Cars 3, but what the fuck ever.
I was going to ask if there's anything coming out this week, so no.
Cars 3, and then the week after that is Transmorphers, and then the week after that is Baby Driver.
Which I'm going on record as saying I won't go see that movie.
Well, no, I thought Homecoming comes out in 3 weeks, right?
No. That's July 7th. July 7th.
Yeah, 3 weeks from now.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No. No.
July 2nd is 3 weeks from today. Yeah. So it's 4 weeks.
That's baby.
Okay.
Yeah. The Baby Driver comes out. I keep on seeing stuff that says the 28th, which is a Wednesday.
That doesn't make sense.
But if it's not that day, it'll be the 30th.
Whatever it is, we'll be there.
Which is the same day that Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler's movie, The House comes out, which that I can't wait to see. It looks hilarious. Yeah. And then Spider-Man comes out the next week after that. Transformers, the only way I'm going to go see it is I might wait a few weeks and then go. I've got a bunch of free passes from AMC, and I'll just, so it, it won't cost me any money, but
doesn't matter.
See,
I mean, it costs you time.
I get you say that, but I would say that you could spend that free pass on another movie. Ergo, it is costing you money because three movies down the line, you're going to have to pay for something you wouldn't have paid for before.
Plus, you have to see the Transformers movie.
Plus, you got to see the movie.
Yeah. But the other thing is, too, is that...
You did see the trailer for it, right? I mean,
Okay,
We're not going to give up on Prime, okay?
But he's so like, how do you mother for me?
But he's like, trying to stab Bumblebee. We're not going to give up on him.
So terrible. I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm going to say if I did do it, that's what I would do.
I'm not going to see this movie, but I'm going to double down on the Bumblebee spinoff and see that twice. Oh.
God, I can't wait.
Let's pick the Transformer that can't talk and make a movie about him.
What the fuck?
Can he still not talk?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I don't know.
And then Haley Steinfeld is supposed to be in that, and it's just like, yeah, I like Haley Steinfeld, but it's like, you're still making the same fucking mistakes Transformer movies. You
hired Michael Bay.
No, you're reading it wrong. They're working from the same formula that's made them millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. They don't have to change anything. They have no reason to change anything.
Right.
I mean, look, if I were the studio and I was Michael Bay, I wouldn't either. I'll go on record. I wouldn't either. They're doing what seems to be pulling in the vast majority of moviegoers these days. So why change it? But
domestically,
that doesn't make me want to go see it.
Domestically, their grosses have gotten less and less with each movie. But the problem is the foreign markets are through the roof for those shitty movies.
You know, Hot Rod's going to be in this movie.
Yeah, that's right. They're finally bringing in Hot Rod. Well, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
They're fucking five movies in, and now you're bringing in Hot Rod, and you're going to probably screw him over too. Are you going to give him a
maybe he'll be a psychopath?
Are you going to give him are you going to give him a racist voice too, or you know, something that's questionable?
Is he a Lamborghini? Is he going to speak Italian?
Probably. I hope so. Mamma mia!
Optimus Prime!
The Transformers!
And then,
it's a spicy meatball!
Speaking of Cars 3, I'm sure we're still not going to find out who is building all these cars. There's no humans. Who's building the cars? Why is there a school bus when there are no children
before to go to
school?
There was the cube.
Okay. What is it?
Thanks, Prime.
This cube? What is. Okay.
How are you talking to us?
Don't look behind the curtain.
Run free, Dinobots, and destroy this planet while I fly into space. Goodbye.
By the way, last movie, I couldn't jump over a river.
But I can fly
into
space.
But I can fly into space. See ya.
But as I said before, in the trailer, it looks like he didn't get too far. Prime got into space and says, I immediately regret this decision.
Also, I wonder how many fist fights Mark Wahlberg's going to get in with a Decepticon in this one. Still live to tell the tale.
These movies are fucking awful.
They're making money, and that's all that matters.
It's your fault, people.
It really is.
You're going to see this shit.
It's the same people that voted for Donald Trump. Exactly. Love this movie. There it is. I bet there's a direct correlation. correlation to when you voted for Donald Trump versus you like the Transformers movies.
There's only one good Transformers movie, and it came out in 1986.
You got the touch.
Do,
you got the power.
Yeah.
And it ended in a heartbreaking way.
Yes.
It began in a heartbreaking
way. Well, it began in a heartbreaking way because that was the beginning of the movie.
That was the beginning. That's right.
Yeah. Goldbug. Perceptor,
I'll call you shit piece. Well, I really don't think you should. Okay, shit piece.
Shit piece.
Way to go, Hot Rod. You fucked this whole operation up. Give me that fucking Matrix back before I beat you.
Prime.
That is Dr. Smoove with a V on YouTube. Check it out. Yep. He does.
It's better than the Mummy.
It's better than the Mummy. It's better than all the Transformers movies. Yeah, he did.
That's setting a high bar.
He took the and these are old videos. They've been online forever.
Yeah.
He took the Transformers cartoon and then overdubbed them. And he does all the voices and he sounds miraculously like all the actors that did the voices on the Transformers cartoon. And then they're fucking hilarious. My personal favorite is Shockwave's Burden. When Shockwave's trying to get some people out of his house. But I also like the one about Wheeljack. That one's hilarious.
Yeah.
Why did you make the Dinobots with small brains? Well, you see, Prime, that doesn't make any fucking sense, Wheeljack.
This came out about the same time as the Finsler films, the G.I. Joe.
The G.I. Joe stuff, right, yeah.
Yeah, the G.I. Joe
PSAs that they redubbed, yeah.
Who wants a body massage?
Pork chop sandwiches! Oh, shit, get the fuck out of what the fuck are you kids doing?
So, check those out. Instead of going to see these horrible, horrible movies.
These are all things you can do instead of going to see the Mummy.
Instead of going to see The Mummy or Transformers 5.
That's what our podcast should have been on. Instead of reviewing The Mummy, we should have just given you things you can do instead of seeing The Mummy.
That's probably what we'll do for Cars 3.
Cut your lawn by hand.
I'm not predicting Cars 3 to be really that good.
Again, I know why they're making Cars 3. It's a kid juggernaut at the box office.
So you can sell toys.
Families.
So you can sell toys.
It's got merchandising already attached to it. Mm-hmm. But come on, Pixar. Original stuff. That's what you're known for. Go back to it, please, God.
And then the trailer for this Coco movie. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be different, but it looks a lot like The Book of Life.
It does look like The Book of Life.
It looks a lot like The Book of Life.
Which, of course, is not a Pixar movie. That's,
right. That was Guillermo del Toro was the producer on that.
But it does nothing for me. The trailer for Coco, I'm not sold at all. I'm just, okay. I mean, it looks beautiful, but the problem with that is that, okay, I expect that from a Pixar movie these days. That's at a bare minimum, it better look beautiful.
I mean, like Ratatouille, if I remember correctly, I saw that trailer and I was like, and I went to go see Ratatouille.
It's an underrated movie.
It is. Ratatouille's fantastic. It's a really, really good movie. So I'm hoping that kind of happens with this Coco, but there was a movie that Pixar had that they did can. They were far into development
because they
found out the plot was a lot like Rio.
Right.
And then they said, well, we got to cancel this. And so then when they kept on going on this Coco movie, I'm like, well, there's got to be some huge difference between this and the Book of Life. But who knows? Because now that Disney runs them, maybe Disney's like, make this fucking movie, you know? So who knows? I don't know. But
at least it's something.
All I know is, you know what? Like, everyone's worrying about the Star Wars and all this shit. And they're like, you know, Rogue One. And what are they going to do after Han Solo? It's real fucking easy. Make a Pixar Star Wars movie. That'd be fucking awesome. The only thing that's terrible now is that Carrie Fisher's not here. She can't voice Princess Leia, but
I'd rather see a Pixar Marvel movie.
That would be awesome too.
Oh yeah,
that'd be great too.
I would like that.
I would love that. That'd be great.
Fit really well. Because Pixar Star Wars movie basically would probably be something that would attach on to like Rebels or you know, something
somebody did artwork several years ago where they basically rendered the Star Wars characters as like Pixar characters and it looked great. And I was like, man, that'd be awesome.
I would
awesome
like to see a Pixar X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm. That'll never happen.
That'll never happen. But yeah. That would be fucking awesome.
And then somebody else did, I mean, and they, people, you know, artists online, because they're so fucking talented, they also rendered, like, the Justice League as Pixar, and it looked really cool, too.
Yeah, that would look cool. I think...
But Marvel would be cool, too.
I think it would render itself in the superhero universe really well.
Yeah, it would. They got Incredibles, too. Yeah, they're already making Fantastic Four, too, so...
Yeah. Oh, God.
Come on, Brad Bird.
They're just not going to let it go.
No. Incredibles. Incredibles 2 is basically Fantastic Four, too.
But... Yeah, they swear that the Fantastic Four franchise is not dead. They're going to keep going.
Whatever.
After they sell the rights back to Marvel.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if you find out after these Avengers movies that a deal took place.
How many ways can we get Doom wrong? Let me count the ways.
About as many times as you can get the Universal Monsters wrong.
I think they should bring him in for Infinity War 2 or whatever. Because they're keeping the title of that under wraps. Like,
well, some people think it might be Secret Wars.
It could be Secret Wars, which would be so cool.
Yeah. Depending on which one they do, though.
I admittedly, like when I was a kid, like I didn't. We all know I didn't read the comics, so my extension of it really came from TV and just kind of pop culture. But Doom was always my favorite villain. He was just awesome. I had the little action figure for Doom. He was like the only villain action figure I actually had. I loved the Doom. He was he's snarky.
Right.
He's fucking ominous.
Right.
And they can't get it right.
I mean, for my money, I mean, that's part of the problem that Marvel has because of all these shitty deals they did back when they were going bankrupt. I mean, their two best villains are Doom and Magneto, and they don't have the rights to either of them, basically, which sucks. Because Magneto, because of his backstory and stuff like that, he's a compelling villain. Like, you might be like, Magneto's kind of got a point, you know? Yeah. So it's like, nobody says, the Red Skull's kind of got a point. You know, it's, this Nazi has a point. You know, nobody says that. I mean, I like the Red Skull as a villain, but no.
We're just talking about Trump supporters. I mean,
some of them might actually say.
We got off on a tangent, but that's the end of the episode.
Didn't we sign off like
we'll
30
see you
minutes
next,
we did.
We'll see you next time, which could be any time now. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm sure we'll come up with something to talk about.
Until then, we'll miss you.
Thanks for listening, folks.